The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. We were too busy gassing off air then. That's what we were doing.
Well, we were.
Yeah.
We were.
You were. I wasn't. I was working.
No, I was talking to the guests and we were talking about some innovative ideas.
Cool.
Anyway.
I was getting me tweets in order and me emails in order. We've still got loads of stuff coming in.
All right.
I've had a tweet from my mate Terry. TD Botty on the Twitter.
Every time.
Terry Botfield, last chance to book your Marsh breakfast. Breakfast networking, 7:45 a.m. this Thursday, the 28th of November at the Ship Inn in Dymchurch. You can book, and it's essential to book, by going to marshnetwork.co.uk. And bookings will close manana tomorrow, the 27th at 6 p.m. So do get along to that. They're good fun. What you got?
I've got loads.
Go on then.
I've got a plaque in memory of Owen Kingdom was unveiled at Kenwood Trust on his 16th birthday in their celebration garden. Mm. The Trust have been working with the Kinghorn family following the death of Owen to help raise funds for their Think Differently project. Mm. Think Differently project, which goes into schools and sports clubs to provide education, information and relevant interventions to young people to help raise awareness of the risks surrounding drugs and alcohol. Their aim is to ensure that young people have the correct, relevant information so they can make their own informed choices surrounding drugs and alcohol. And Penny Williams, who's the CEO of the Kenwood Trust, said the Kinghorn family approached us after the death of Owen to start raising money for our Think Differently project. Our aim is to raise enough money to provide sessions in all of the schools in Kent so that we can provide young people with the vital information needed to prevent this from happening ever again. So if you want to donate to Think Differently project and help them reach more young people in Kent, you need to go to www. And that's justgiving.com, and it's fundraising, and then /Owen Kinghorn. Or you can visit the website, which is www. Kenwoodtrust.org.uk. Interesting subject.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Owen sadly passed away at age 16 of a drug overdose. And at Kenwood Trust, in association with KM Media, and a huge thank, I'm a trustee of Kenwood Trust, so a huge thank you to KM Media who have been supporting us in this, in trying to raise money to one, support Kenwood Trust, which is a charity that helps people with drink and drug addictions, but also to take the message into schools and to talk about what happened.
Yeah.
So do try and support it if you can, please. We'd be most grateful.
Well, Kimberly Stevens has joined the bandwagon with a GIF.
Has she?
Yep, she has put, "Good morning. I'd love a Merry Business Bunker shout out on today's show to remind everyone that it's Eve Gates Craft and Artisan Village Christmas Fair on Saturday, the 30th of November. And it's between 12 and 4. There's live music. It's a Christmas market. There's steam and vintage tractors. And there's kids entertainment." And she's used an elf GIF, which I just love when it's put, "Christmas is coming." Yes, it is, Kimberly.
You can't avoid it, can you?
I love it.
I know you're hanging on for the last
we
few days.
We watched Scrooge the other day.
Did you?
Yeah. You know, with Murray, Bill Murray?
Yeah, yeah.
Not a fan of him.
Yeah.
But I quite like that movie.
Yeah. And when did you get around to watching The Grinch?
Not yet.
Got to watch The Grinch.
Yeah, but it's not the 1st of December yet, is it?
But it's not a happy film, The Grinch.
No.
No.
No, but
I'm not a lover of him, though, either, if I'm really honest.
No, and as my son used to point out to me, even the Grinch has a dog, which is something I've refused for years.
What do you mean?
Well, the Grinch has a dog.
What does that mean?
Well, he's always wanted a dog.
Who?
No one can, my son. So no one can be worse behaved
you
than the Grinch.
You have never given Sam a dog.
No.
Shame on you.
There's no words, is there?
Mm. I've got a tweet here from Rebecca Brainer.
Don't support Sam in his quest. Really.
Sam. Keep on keeping on, as Mr. Andrews would say.
Yeah, but not with dogs.
She's nearly there.
Not with dogs. No, don't go there with dogs. Rebecca
Brainer. I want a dash hound for Christmas anyway. Stephen, I know you're listening. A dash hound, love. I want to carry it as I'm running.
She deserves it. She deserves it.
I've got honey running with me. I can have one on my back and off we go.
Yeah, yeah, well, you're no good taking a dash hound running with you, are you?
I'd carry it.
And got little legs that are about an inch
long.
Honey
runs with me. We do marathon training.
Yeah, but she's not a dash hound, is she?
No, but I can put a dash hound on my back.
In a backpack?
Yep. Or on the front, like a Toby turnaround. You know the little things that you see?
She's
dogs with her legs on it.
She's going to end up like one of these women with
I'm a dog lady.
Yeah, with a Mulberry handbag with like a chihuahua in it.
Here's the thing about I'm not a big value on handbags. That's right. Not my value. I'd rather spend $2,000 on a pair of wheels.
Yeah, but if you're gonna transport a dog, you need something robust, don't you?
But not Mulberry.
Yeah.
Oh, Mulberry. Where do you go shopping to buy a Mulberry? Amanda, you're lucky.
It's not Tesco's, is it?
It's not. No, it's
give
not
it away.
George.
Anyway, I've got a tweet from Rebecca Brainer here. And Rebecca is telling us about something she's doing. Rebecca's brilliant. You need to follow her on the Twitter. What she does is she does sign language singing, right?
Wow.
And what you can do is you can tell her your favourite song and she'll set it to sign and then does a video of it with them singing. Anyway, they're at the East Church Songs. It's really hard to say this. The East Church Song Signing is tonight. Between 6 and 8 p.m., that's at East Church. And if you want to find out more about it, follow Rebecca on the Twitter. Her Twitter handle is Brainer, B-R-E-I-N-E-R, Rebecca, R-E-B-E-C-C-A, Brainer Rebecca. Give her a follow on the Twitter. She's got loads of videos on there. She's actually got a video that she's posted today of Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow.
Sing it.
Sorry?
Sing it.
No. No, I can sign it. She's signing it. She's signing it.
You can't sign it.
I can sign it. No.
Sing it. Oh, can you sign on the radio?
Yeah, well, exactly. That's how then they can't tell if my signing's good or not, can they? Cool. So give her a follow. And they're at East Church tonight. What you got, Bird?
I've got Dedicate Recruitment, who were on last week. We've got them all on from last week, I tell you. How cool is that? Hello, Vanilla Web and Bird and a Bike. Loving the show from this side of the desk. Enjoy the jumper.
Oh, they're on to the jumpers
they're
now.
On the jumpers
they know
now.
They know Mark's coming, and we've got to take pictures. Cool.
You missed it, Nettie.
What did I miss? Is that because you told
Mr.
me the
Andrews,
show started 15 minutes later?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, go on.
Mr. Andrews, unfortunately, was rude to your guest.
I dispute that.
I'd like to hear both sides of the
I'll
story.
I'll tell you the honesty of it.
Okay, yeah.
Can you give me the bias? We introduced and he said, like, your Christmas jumper. I said, what if that isn't a Christmas jumper?
That's not Mark's Christmas jumper.
That's what I think. I don't think it's Christmas jumper.
You should see a Christmas jumper on Mark. That's not it.
This isn't easing into Christmas.
That is. That's just a winter jumper.
I think that's just a winter jumper.
It's a pre-Christmas, Christmas pre-jumper is what it is.
Don't
obviously.
Try and be rude, Paul. Don't try and be rude. That is not a Christmas jumper.
I know.
This is about as Christmases I get. So.
Yeah, okay, but it's black and white, and Paul doesn't win this argument, Mark, so you might want to join in with me and Bird. So, but, you know, it would need some colour, wouldn't it? Unless that's the snow. Is that the snow on a black jumper?
I don't think it's a Christmas jumper at all.
Neither do I.
It's got snowflakes on it.
Only because I just made that up.
What are you talking about? You've got red on your jumper. What, should we call you a Christmas jumper?
No, that's a Valentine's T-shirt.
A Valentino?
Valentine's. Valentine's Day T-shirt got red. On it.
No, this is my Christmas polo shirt. It is. This is as near as Christmas I get.
You two should hang out more.
Yeah. I've had a tweet from Romney Resource Centre. They say, hello, Paul. Romney Resource Centre is running a raffle for all of our supporters. Bennett and Friends is providing an amazing hamper. Bennett and Friends make, what do you call it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Fingies.
Yeah, six of those, please.
You know, things you eat.
Food.
Little things. What do you call them?
Nibbles.
Sweets.
No.
Biscuits.
Moose bouche. Truffles.
Canapes. Goodness gracious, you can't get a staff, can you?
You should have told us it was a foreign name. We'd have listed it.
Oh, that foreign muck.
Monge 2.
Yeah, and the Monge 2.
It was the way you just shouted at me. Canapes.
It's the way you went, small things. It's like, what?
Mints?
Anyway, there's a raffle for all of the Romney Resource Centre supporters, and the lovely folks at Bennett and Friends have provided a hamper just in time for Christmas. So if you're interested in becoming a supporter, you can sign up here, and that's romney-resource.co.uk/supporters. Do join in. Do support them.
Well, our sponsors have been on Cyberfort. They've said, hi, Vanilla Web and Burn a Bike. Thank you for the shout-out for our event. We are busy packing folders, merging presentations and trying not to eat the, you know, I won't tell you what it is, you know, the thing that you eat.
Whisper bars.
You're right. And they're busy packing the whisper bars. Ready for tomorrow's event.
Fantastic. Oh, I've just come. I just found a tweet as well.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm on to Buddy the Elf and all jumpers. That's a Christmas jumper, though, isn't
That's
it?
That's what we're saying.
Yeah, I know.
You're just being rude.
That looks more Christmassy.
Anyway, you know, you were talking about Marsh Networking. Yeah. I've got another one here. Marsh Networking on the 4th of December. And that's 10 till 12 at Cinqport Arms, New Romney. And you need to go to www. KentBusinessRadio.co.uk/Marsh Network.
I've had a tweet from Amanda saying Pam was on the Superior Show, on the Business Bunker Extra Show a few weeks ago. She's an amazing lady and a brilliant guest.
Oh, thank you, Amanda.
There you go. I've done that one. Right, good.
Roy Networking over coffee.
Go.
17th of December, 9:30 till 12, the King's Head Inn, and that's it, Roy, and it's
www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Smarsh Networking. Interesting that Terry Botfield's gone over to Rye now.
He's Sussex. He's gone out of county.
Yeah, yeah. You need a passport now.
He's gone out of county.
I'm surprised. Didn't. I was. I'm amazed. He's scaling up. He is.
Yeah.
Or running away.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good.
See, because I live almost in East Sussex. That's the thing. Down here in Tenston.
Is it near there?
Yeah.
It's not far.
Yeah, Rye's only 7 miles from my house.
Well, France is only 23 from mine.
Exactly.
I nearly live in France.
You're French. I've said that.
Canapes every day.
Yeah, exactly.
Canapes.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got to take that off the podcast and just put it as a sound.
Canapes.
Yeah.
I get this every week.
Only when Nettie's on. I love Nettie being on.
They have no respect for me.
That's so untrue.
It is true. We don't. it could be Cockney canapes. What do you reckon? There's a market.
That's a great business.
Pam will help you with it. It'll be
CockneyCanapes.com.
CockneyCanapes.co. Get your munch two here, love.
Pork pie.
If you want to check it.
Do you reckon I could knock out 65 grand's worth in a month?
If you have me in your corner.
Yeah,
month. How many days was it, Pam?
35 days.
35 days.
Just over a month.
Yeah, okay. But they're be that size, mate.
Mate.
No, that's...
Like this, Cockney canapes. I'm going to check Company's House if that name's available.
Cockney canapes.
I'm doing it now.
It's you'd have, already gone, actually.
I'm looking for the domain name. Carry on.
You'd have little ones with eels on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And little ones with mash and a little bit of gravy.
I can see it now. Camapels and camapels. Gravies and whatever. Yeah. We'll have all these names. It'll be amazing.
Jellied canapes.
Yeah, canamash.
Keep going. I'm trying to
find... That could be Bird's business. You never know.
It probably is, yeah.
But it's close. Yeah. I've just bought a .com, which I'm so excited about. Carry on.
Just get that set up. I can be a director. If you need a pound for the shares...
I think we should all go into it together. We should do a whole story. Exactly.
I'll do the packaging.
Yes. Yeah.
There you go. Excellent. Accounting... You can do that. It's a job done. Sorted.
That's it. Cockney canapes.
I'm not being funny. We've got the front man. I mean, what more would you want?
We can't do it without you, Paul.
He can wear his Christmas polo shirt.
Yeah. He's got red on.
Website done. Job's done.
Yeah,
jobs
exactly.
Are good.
I need to tell you about this. The Venues and Events Expo is back. Venues and Event Expo South East 2020. C-O-C-K-N-E-Y.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Carry on.
The Venues and Events Expo Southeast 2020 is back this year, next year. We'll be opening the doors to the third annual Vexpo in 2020 and we'll be hosting Vexpo in a brand new venue, more central in the southeast of England. We'll have over 80 amazing exhibitors showcasing the very best venues and suppliers based in the southeast, giving you the chance to connect with them and get to know what they can offer you and your clients. Plus, we'll be running some fam trips after the expo to allow you to truly experience what the Southeast has to offer. Put the date in your diary and we'll send you more details as soon as we officially launch. So the date will be Thursday the 14th of May. It's going to be between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. It's already starting to get bookings and we don't know where the venue is yet. So do check it out. venueseventsexpo.co.uk.
Great news.
You
great
lot.
News.
Great news.
It's available.
Can I just tell you? No, I think you need to do... I think we should do something like this. Just let's get clear. We've just gone onto two domain websites, and cockneycanapes.com, don't you dare buy it, anybody, is up for sale. I'm going to go and buy it now for you. I'm telling you. So you can literally start a business while we are on air.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's how quick.
And that's what I did the other week when I started my new business, Nettie, that he wants to know about.
But it's exactly what Pam was saying, isn't it? That the cost of entry to start an online business is negligible. You know, you just go on.
I'll buy this for you.
Pick a stupid name and go with it.
It's not stupid. This is a great name.
Cockney Canapes.
You see, what we've also got to do is whenever anybody rings up or you do any emails, right? Canapes.
Hold on a minute.
And every email is like, all right,
Ms. Obasa spent the first half of this show telling you about how to target your market and how to know what you're selling to. You two have registered a company called Cockney.
Cockney Canapes.
You have no idea who the customers are.
In our defence, right, what happened was that we had the inspiration, that's the word I'm going with, by somebody that's got quite a lot of businesses, angel investor, whatever, to my left advising us, because someone was making things like this that you eat, right?
Yep.
And for those of you who can't see like this, he's just sort of saying
50
something
pence a piece.
Round, right?
But here's what you're doing.
You're pointing at me now.
I am, because I'm quite excited with things like this, because I love this. Here's what you've done.
Yeah.
We have just created, we could easily create a business, quite easily, and then think of an avatar for our business, can we?
Yeah, you can
think, this is who we're going to do it for, the builder, Cockney Canapes, and deliver it in a van.
Yeah.
I like it.
No, it would have to be in a three-wheel Reliant, wouldn't it?
Yes.
To be fair,
come on.
You know someone's going to buy this.
This is
brilliant.
You know that, right? This is genius. But this is how good business is.
My business is for sale. If anybody out there would like to buy Cockney Canapes from me, it's a happening business. It's famous. It's well known from radio.
Yes. And I've just checked. There's already over 4,000 reviews. Apparently, it's really going well.
Yeah.
So just good.
But we've said this often. People start off with this quick idea. They're into it. And then they'll buy, and then they go and do what you do, Pam, which is, I've started a business.
It's not making money. What do I do?
What do I do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. We don't go,
well, can
let's
I make
do
a
the
suggestion?
Due diligence before, do we?
Don't put little bits of jelly deal on blinis.
It ain't going to work.
It really isn't.
I'm serious.
To be fair, I've decided to withdraw from this business venture.
That's a typical accountant.
She's
minimal
quit
risk.
Already. Yeah.
Minimal risk.
Low risk. Boring. Yeah.
Boring. Yeah. You and I,
it's
we're
not
on
that.
It.
I can't work with you two.
How rude.
How about a Twitter poll?
Yeah, we ought to do a Twitter poll. Should we launch Cockney Canapes? I tell you what, this show gets more ridiculous every week.
I don't think it is ridiculous.
11 years ago, this started off as a very serious business show, and it's just degenerated every month, every week, every day since then. Crazy. I don't know why I got involved with these two. Anyway, I'll tell you what.
Please, somebody serious now.
Yeah.
Because I want to know about this choose the bottle, non-plastic bottle.
So I think we ought to get Nettie back on track and me on track. Yeah, you on track, and introducing us to the guest that you've brought along in his Christmas jumper.
Can I just say, we've just called Nettie boring.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
That's just classic. Anyway, sorry, Nettie, love you.
She works for an accountant.
We are not boring accountants. Now, take that back and say something nice.
No, you are
nice. Bambi's mother said.
Mm-hmm. It could be worse. You could have been actuaries. They're really boring.
Anyway, welcome, Nettie.
Thanks a lot. I've had my spirits quashed. We're non-traditional accountants. We like to laugh with our customers. We like to know them.
Especially when they produce their books.
We like to take them seriously. And I'm generally very well behaved.
I've just been hit by a Mars bar.
It could have been a canapé.
From Cockneyland.
Oh, where that went.
But anyway, this week, this month rather, I've brought back a returning guest. So it might kind of been that boring coming out with me the first time that he's come back again. Mm. Mark, who's been a client of Riff for a number of years, and he's a little bit of a Caractacus Potts, actually. He likes to work with all the people who are inventing and what they're going to do next and so on. Mm. So do you like that? That's my Ian Fleming bit this time.
Yeah.
And he works with some really innovative people. And Mark and I have worked together with your business for how many years?
Yeah, it's been 4 years.
Four or five years. Yeah. And he's always coming up with something a little bit different. So it's always nice to have him in here. And now he lives locally. It's not many people who move to be closer to their accountants.
No.
And yet Mark has.
Silence, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's how good we are.
I never thought of it like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to take it.
We are closer.
Yeah, we are closer now than we used to be.
So just before we talk to Mark, what's happening with you? What's with the lovely folks at Rift? You've been doing some stuff for me.
We have.
Which I'm very pleased with. Thank you.
You're very welcome. It's all just business as usual. You know, it's going to be a surprise at the end of January because everybody has to do a self-assessment again. I don't know if you know, they've changed the date again. It's still the 31st of January.
It's getting ridiculous, isn't it? Because they've put back digital returns. They've suspended for a year reverse VAT.
Yep.
I mean, it's almost as if they don't know what they're doing.
Imagine that. But, this year, just for, you know, continuity, we are going to do deadline day of the 31st of January again for self-assessment tax returns. It will still be a surprise to a number of people who will then be fined £100 the minute it's late. So, for goodness sake, just do it.
Get on with it. Yeah.
So that's coming up. That's probably the next big milestone, apart from obviously the Christmas word, which I believe again is the 25th of December this year.
I know, it's amazing, that, isn't it? It's surprising how that happens.
Yep. But in the meantime, people like Mark are continuing to work on all their innovative ideas with their clients.
Absolutely. And Rift have established another company for me because Bird told me she was starting a company and I thought, I'm not being left out, so I'm going to start one.
He did as well.
Yeah. Anybody who wants to start a business, just come and find me.
Yeah.
Okay? I'll come and talk
to you. If I'd have known we were going to do Cockney Canapes, I wouldn't have done the other one, but
I'd do both.
Well, I could.
We can do it all. We can do it all. We'll make a great team, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, we do make a great team. You do a fabulous job for me. Thank you.
You are very welcome.
So, introduce Mark formally then.
What, again?
Yeah, again. Yeah. Without all the waffle this time.
Okay. Yeah. So this is Mark from the company called Luma ID.
Yeah.
And I'll let him talk about him because that's always the best way.
Absolutely. Mark, welcome back onto the show.
Thanks very much.
It's quite some time since you were on.
It was, a while ago, a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was certainly more than a year ago, wasn't it?
We had a VR headset that we had designed.
You were doing VR, weren't
VR
you?
VR was at its
virtual reality kind of peak.
And we were in our old studio.
Yes.
We were.
Yeah, we were. Yeah.
And you brought the cardboard one that it all started with the prototypes. Yeah.
Absolutely. So the VR buzz is now kind of a little bit onto the next.
It's mainstream now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really mainstream. So start off, Mark, by telling us about Luma, what your company actually does, and then we're going to talk about some of the things you brought along as well.
I know, the pressure's on now after Pam's brilliant presentation and everything. And I'm trying to hit all the points now.
She's going to go, well, hold on a minute, who's your target market now, Mark?
I know, I'm trying to list all these things in order.
Who are you going to sell that to then?
So started the company in 2013. We're now a team of six.
Right.
The studio is based in Woolwich, but I'm based in Margate. So, over in the two different places. And basically, we produce prototypes. We develop for our clients and then, develop them into different versions and then produce productionized versions. We basically focus on medical industry because it's important to focus on areas like that.
Yeah.
Well done, Mark. Well done.
He's been racking his brain for that.
Written a whole business plan while he's been waiting.
Yeah, I have got some notes here. MedTech is great for us. It ticks all the boxes, you know. It's
what led you to look at that as a market? Was it something you were asked to do and then you thought, wow, this is good, that we can do more of this?
So everything you've said that we've basically done. So we started Luma, you know, two guys that had a job in industry, wanted to be our own boss, started a consultancy, you know, normal kind of thing, designing anything and everything. And we did that for a few years. And then we just had a portfolio of products that we had under our belts. And then we just started to choose, you know, a direction that we wanted to go down. Mm. And we've been working now with a surgeon on a really exciting medical product. I can't say anything about it yet, as it's still under NDA.
Right.
But it's going to be going to clinical trials next month. So it's incredibly exciting. So to having designed all these things in the past for consumer markets and for retail and for everything else is great, but it's nothing's, you know,
exciting as
and we're going to go and actually hopefully be at the clinical trials or a few of them.
Okay.
And that's going to be really testing our skill set to, you know, we'll be actually seeing the devices being used. So so that's one portion of what we do.
Mm.
Bike products, something else that we've done in the past, and now we're trying to sort of grow, you know, attract more clients in that market.
Okay.
So bike safety lights, indicators. One of the indicators was on Dragon's Den this year, which was quite cool.
Right.
That you designed?
Yeah, for a client. Yeah, Brighter Bikes. So check that out. That's a cool one.
I want to ask a few questions here because there's loads of interesting stuff going on here. Once you're given a commission, presumably somebody comes to you and goes, I want you to design a prototype that goes bing or something.
Yeah.
What's the process that you go through with something like that? You know, I mean, because if you gave a kid a bunch of crayons, they could probably draw pictures or something. But how do you go about the prototyping process?
I was just talking to Pam about this. The price of the resources available is a starting point. So what sort of resources does the client have and what are we talking about? So if it's getting a prototype on the table to then maybe generate, you know, seed round funding. Is one type of client, or it might be, you know, we've got a full budget to produce a full product design. So it's very much dependent on the customer and their resources. But we're doing problem solving always. So it's always the same thing. So, you know, dealing with, you know, what we've got and getting the best out of it.
Right.
So, you know, if you come to me with a budget that you have in mind, and a specification of a prototype that you'd like, you know, we try and work out what is the best approach to get the most out of it.
So are you an inventor, Mark?
I guess a little bit. I mean, I don't really have time to...
Yeah.
That's what I meant. When you talk... Do you know who Karatka's Pots is?
Yes.
Yeah. So from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah.
He's always the one that's making all the different things and trying it and giving it a go.
Mm.
So loads of what Mark does is R&D, because it's everything is trial and error, isn't it?
Yeah. So you don't know... I mean... What I love about what I do is that you're building something that never existed before.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone creates anything, you know, there's that buzz of an idea turns into something that you can pick up and use.
The thing about this is it could be so broad as well, couldn't it? If somebody comes to you and says, right, we need a prototype to do X, Y, or Z, I'm assuming there's loads of things that you don't have in-house, you know, loads of knowledge and expertise that you don't have in-house. I'm sure you've got loads, but you see what I mean? You might have something that goes, well, we need to know about the internals of a spacecraft or something.
Yeah, you have to know your limits, and we always say that do what you do best. That's our kind of motto.
But do you ever do a prototype where you go out and buy in some expertise?
So you know, we have a in-house kind of CAD team, design team that have our skill set and previous products. And if there's anything specialist, then we outsource.
Yeah.
And it's things like running things like 3D printers. So we've got a couple of 3D printers. We could, if we wanted to, spend all day playing with those.
I'm sure.
Like, they're a great bit of kit. But we choose to have a couple of basic ones in-house.
Yeah.
And then anything specialist that's required, we sub it out.
Right.
So we try to run a core team focused on what we do that covers, you know, 80% of the design work. And then, if you need a specialist who's an expert in X or Y, we will like, you know, bring that in. And it's essentially problem solving on every
cool. And what would fascinate me about that is the stuff you must learn while you're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how do you do that then? Well, I don't know. Let's ask someone. Yeah.
And there's no like guaranteed direction or answer. It's just, you know, you choose the path based on experience and what you feel like is the best way to go. You know, you don't have all the answers when you start something. You have ideas, and it's all about iteration. So you know, every single prototype, if you line them all up, you look back and you see where you started, and it's this clunky, weird looking thing that evolves, and slowly over time, after testing it and refining it and getting feedback, it ends up, you know, the product that's in front of you. So I really enjoy that process. And the trick with the business side is to know when to stop. You know, as engineers, and I think what we were talking about earlier, it's easy to focus on what you like to do, but you need to sell the product, you need to get the product out there. And it's always that point where you've done enough to develop it, right, now let's get it out, let's start selling it, let's focus on the other part of the business.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Could you tell us something that you have prototyped in the past that you're allowed to tell us so that we can get a feel for what it is that you made, who you made, kind of made it for, and what happened to it?
Yeah, sure. Well, this is a nice example that I brought in. This is the elbow bike light. So this is a safety bike light that a customer of ours came to a couple of years ago, and he had this idea rattling around in his head for, you know, a decade or whatever, you know, thinking how can we improve bike safety? He came to us with a handmade prototype that he put together, which I love, by the way. Anyone that makes anything and has had a go, I love it. Cool. Anything like that is great. And we took it and, I don't know, probably spent 20 iterations in 2 years. And now it's available on the market. We're working on another version now and front lights. And a customer came to us with an idea who's now got a business in the bike light market.
Okay, well, let me describe this because we're on the radio. It's kind of a boomerang-shaped, L-shaped plastic device with a red light on one end and a clamp on the other.
Yeah, so it clamps into the back of your seat post.
Yeah.
So if this is the bike, you know, sort of facing, you can turn it left or right depending on where you are in the world.
Right.
So you obviously want the traffic to be passing you by. We've designed a light. So when the concept is when you're riding your bike in the dark or the rain or, you know, in situations where it's hard to see, cars will use your light as a central point.
Yeah.
So, you know, they'll come up to you. And often if you ride your bike, you know, you suddenly have the feeling of being pushed over to one side.
Yeah.
The light is offset. So the idea is that by the time the car's caught up to you, you're a little bit further. They're a little bit further away from you, and
it's sticking out from the bike.
About
9 or 10 inches?
Yeah. We're trying to actually see if we can get some data to back this up, but that's the next phase of the project. Because if you've got some statistics that can actually back the claim, that would be great. But no, it's trying to design something that sticks out so it can be seen, which is great. But then you're on a bike, so your legs going over the bike. You know, you put your bike against a wall or in a bike shed. So we've designed something that has to take the impact. So it has this quite complicated ball joint system in there. So it'll take all the impacts, take all the knocks, be very long lasting and hard wearing. Get out of the way when it needs to. But then when it's on the bike, it will stay
it's
fixed
robust,
off one side. So that's hopefully a nice example.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Yeah, presumably that's a finished product you've got in your hand.
Yeah.
Do you, when you're designing a prototype like that, is that the kind of thing you would hand back to him, or is it a bit more Heath Robinson than that you give him?
Oh, well, they evolve, yeah. The first one is very, like, just throw it together with what you've got. And,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of going away for too long and spending too much time on anything and trying to solve problems that maybe you're not aware of. I like to make a we call it quick and dirty prototype.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, just
absolutely.
Get the concept out there, you know, test it out and basically try and work out where the issues lie, and if there's anything obvious before then, sort of developing a bit of a plan to go from there.
Yeah, many years ago when I worked in the city, one of my jobs was designing futuristic based systems. Ours are all services rather than products, but we had a thing called a skunk works where we just came up with stupid ideas that were really, you know, poorly thought through, but you just tried them and saw what the reaction is, and then you refined it from there.
Yeah.
And that's a kind of similar process that you're going through.
I can't remember who said it, but fail quickly and fail fast, and then just move on to the next thing. And I think that works with almost any process, doesn't it?
How long would that take you? So do you give yourself a budget of time to say, actually, we do 3 prototypes, so you just sell packages that you go, actually, this is what we do. And if I came to you with an idea...
Yeah.
Do then, how do you sell that to me?
Yeah, I could improve that a bit, I think.
Because I'd want to know, well, how much is this going to cost? Because I would imagine you're wanting the greatest product, and that could take years down the line, couldn't it?
Yeah, so like I said, every single client, I have to work with the client that's in front of me and the resources to hand. So
budget is all...
So I'm always trying to work out, what's the budget? And with any project, the bigger the budget, the better the product will end up. And also depends on the complexity of the product. You know, sometimes you can only go so far and you need an investor or you need backing to continue it. And that's often how it goes. If you explain someone your idea and it's just a drawing, you'll go so far. If you put a prototype on the table that's 90% there, all of a sudden someone can see, A, you've gone ahead and actually developed something, and B, you can see what it is. You know, everyone's very busy, you don't have a lot of time, and to imagine something is harder than seeing it. So
absolutely.
That's often the process that we like to do. You know, you go so far with what you have, and obviously we want to take on full projects and have fewer projects throughout the year and bigger ones. That's the long-term goal. But the reality is, you know, that takes a long time to set up. So we work on medium-sized projects now in between the larger ones. And the goal as us as a company is to just try and focus on the bigger ones.
So this bottle here that you've got, explain the bottle and where you are in that process. So
So this is called Choose Water, and obviously very, very much of the times at the moment. The client that produced the company Choose Water produced plastic bottles at the moment, and it's a young entrepreneur that runs the business. And you know, he sees the news like everyone else, and just thinks, God, you know, I've got to do something to stop this issue. And if I can't do it, you know, who's going to do it? Mm. So he's basically he came up with the idea of the material. I can't say too much about it, but it's a combination of paper and a special lining. And we developed the tooling for the prototypes. So he gave us. So we used 3D printing to basically produce low volume versions of this bottle. Right. Because there was no other way of fabricating it. So, and that's often why we use 3D printing. It's a much more cost effective way of trying something out.
Yeah.
And it's reusable.
I there'll be a point where it'll break down, but it's really to replace the one time plastic.
Got it.
Use. And it was picked up by Sky Atlantic,
right.
who have now injected some money and resources into it. And hopefully very soon you'll see it on your shelves at your local supermarket.
But it's interesting, isn't it? And that's, I don't know how you feel about this, Mark, but it's something that I see, you know, people moan about things, but it's often the inspiration to do something new. It just takes time, though, to, you know, because you've got to experiment and you've got to find out what works and all the rest of it. But I really do, you know, everybody's falling about saying we're all going to die. But I really don't think we are, because we will invent things to get around it. In the same way that we invented plastic to do a job, we've now decided we don't like plastic. We'll invent something else, something similar to that, that will move us away from, you know, single-use plastic. We will.
It's just all about keep pushing the envelope, you know, keep developing, not always just accepting what's in front of you.
Yeah. And, of course, new materials come along all the time, do they not?
New materials come along, but also there's great materials that were used that can be used again. It's you know, it's just so looking at it.
I was reading a really interesting article yesterday about nuclear fusion technology, which has been something that's been played with for ages and ages and ages, because, you know, it has. And then a small tiny British company have actually built a small fusion reactor that works.
But you know who's been doing this for years and has injected billions into this? It's Bill Gates.
Yeah.
But he's been doing this for years.
But that's my whole point. Loads of people in the nuclear industry have been playing around with this, but a tiny, tiny company in Yorkshire have actually built one that works. Yeah. And sometimes it's just a breakthrough that a big corporate doesn't find, because you've just got people going, do you know what? We'll just experiment with this.
Well, it's why I like working with smaller companies, and sometimes even individuals. We're trying to move away from that long term, because obviously the size of the business. But big businesses take ages to make decisions.
Yeah.
You know, but an individual will be able to go, I want to design that. I'm a decision maker. You know, I want to go ahead with it.
And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I've worked in big corporates and I know what they're like. You know, sometimes they lose their bottle as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll go, we won't do that anymore, because, you know, we can't see where you're going with this, or, you know, that doesn't sound right. So, and I think that's where real innovation happens, is in smaller places where people are prepared to just experiment with things and just keep going with it. Can I ask you a question? And you might not be able to answer this, but what's your most favourite thing to date that you've developed?
The product we're doing for the surgeon.
I knew you were going to say that, because you can't tell us what it is. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but that means it's been so nice to work with someone who, you know, has a. I think it's the approach with working with someone who's very good at what they do, but gives you the freedom to do what you need to do. And treats it, you know, the question with that is never what's the budget. It's how do we do it to get the right output? It's a different thinking process with someone like that. And I think that's the way I think. It's a shame money drives the world, because, you know, that for me is just the best way to think about things.
But it's nice to think, isn't it? Sorry, Paul, of somebody that's a surgeon, obviously working on the likes of us the whole time, has come up with something in his day-to-day work that thinks,
I was just going to say, funnily enough, there is, surgeons tend to be engineers. Like my dentist, for instance, hello Ian, is fantastic at inventing processes and materials. I might have got this wrong, but he was one of the early stage developers of fiberglass teeth, right? And basically it's a technique where if you've got a gap, before you used to have a crown or an implant, now he just fiberglasses across the gap. Yeah, it's so much cheaper, harder wearing, and it still looks like a tooth because they can shape it. And he kind of developed that process for doing it. And he's invented tools for dentistry. He's invented processes for it. He's an engineer and he just likes inventing.
The super vet does this as well, doesn't he? Yeah. He does the same thing. So he invents implants and things like that and how to put in things.
So you quite often find surgeons and dental surgeons, and because they're at the sharp end of what they're doing, they go, well, if only I had a tool that could do this.
Yeah,
I could get around the corner of the, you know, epicanthus or something and hook out the bit that's giving you a problem. That's technical, that is. You wouldn't understand it.
No, I don't get it.
No, you need
Mark,
to.
Mark, are you a crazy inventor? Are you somebody who wants to invent, but look at the face. Yeah, go on, Mark. What have you invented?
So, yeah, I wish I had the classic case of more time in the day because we see so many cool things and it's trying to, you know, be able to step back and say, oh, that would be really good if we could incorporate that with that. I always have these ideas. I have a little son and, things break on prams and I'll 3D print and replace them, and I just like doing things like that. It comes in handy.
Yeah, we've got a 3D printer at home and there's often when we do lots of time trials and that, the position of the handlebars, so Stephen will like do different handlebar positions. It's crazy because they're not out there.
Mm.
So they're so quick and easy to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm quite often interested in, I bet you think, oh, my God, I need to invent this or...
Yeah, I use it a lot in just, like, the day-to-day. So, like, I don't know, I did some DIY the other day and I needed... there was something that wasn't available anymore, so I just reverse-engineered it and printed it out. So, I incorporate it in my day-to-day life quite a bit. I guess, yeah. It would
You're
be
sad, no- Richard, that's what you are.
I guess I'd like to have more time to inject that energy into a business. But it will come. I'm trying to grow this, grow Luma. I have a young family, so those ideas just need to wait a little bit. And sometimes, at the end of the day, it's nice not to actually think about designing or anything else and step back from it.
Yeah.
What do you see, because with all your different inventors that come, do you call them inventors or creatives or...?
What
are you seeing as a trend with them? Because I like to look at groups of people that you see and you must go, do you know what, I knew they were going to do that, or they're going to make it successful or they're not.
Yeah, it's a tricky question. Unfortunately, I'm being honest with the commercial side, it's cost driven at the moment. Everything seems to be cost driven. If you want to make any kind of product and get into the marketplace, in the fields that we work in, it's retail out there is obviously like it's a tough time. Mm. So and with Amazon and things like that, and there's always the example of, well, I can buy that on Amazon for that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're always battling, well, that might not be very eco-friendly or it might break after 10 uses, but the mindset of price is really...
But that's really where what Pam was saying comes in, is that says, well, hold on a minute. Yeah, you might be able to buy a cheap one, but what's the market we're attacking here? Does it need to be cheap?
There's definitely, every single industry has its, markets out there, but the mass retail is... features are great and this and that's great, but ultimately, price. If you want to sell, things at high volume, it seems to be obviously down to price sensitive, and hopefully
so
that changes.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And Mark, and I wanted to ask you as well. I mean, I guess a lot of the process will change as new materials become available as well. And for you, is there anything exciting happening in that field at the moment?
In the materials front? Well, I suppose it's something like this, just choose water bottle, isn't it?
Yeah.
A nice example of using paper pulp instead of plastic. There's lots, like I said, there's lots of things that have been done that could be brought back in again.
Yeah.
I just think we're in a time where like Kickstarter and those kinds of places enable great ideas to surface.
Yeah.
I think the only thing the trend I notice is that people that are great with the idea side, and like to push a product and develop it aren't good at selling it.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest problem, is that great, you know, bad ideas get pushed to sometimes too much, and the great ideas don't get out there.
Isn't that the story of this country going back over 100 years? You know, we develop things like jet engines, hovercraft, and all kinds of things, and then everybody else ends up with them because nobody ever sold them here. We just invented them and then walked away.
I think it's the short term versus the long term kind of issues, and we all look so short term, you know. With a young family, I get that, you know, the resources are limited and everything else, but there's that different mindset of, well, if we make it right now and make it last, test of time, or we make it serviceable, or whatever it might be, in the long run, it will work out.
Yeah. And while we've been talking, Mark has been developing some prototypes for Cockney canapes.
No, he has not.
Oh, has he not?
I was really excited then. I'm like, oh, I think we're onto something here.
Recyclable packaging, that's it.
Yes.
Wow, yeah. So, is there something that you'd really like to work on?
Oh, anything with wheels.
Anything with wheels.
Anything with wheels, I'm happy.
You see, Mark's a keen cyclist as
Cycle,
well.
Cars, karting. Right. Yeah, we just soapboxed earlier this year for Red Bull. That was really fun.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, that was really good. So, yeah.
A lot of people don't. I used to own a motor racing team, and motor racing is a fantastic place for developing new products, automotive products, you know, because you've got some very definite issues that you're trying to solve.
Yeah.
And a lot of those become mainstream eventually.
I'd like us to reinvent how to sell a car.
How to sell a car?
Oh, I hate it. We're just in the breeze of trying to buy a car. It's not difficult, but I want to enjoy the experience, and I don't enjoy the experience of buying a car. It's boring. There you go. That's what I'd like from the Automotive Society.
Ah, okay. There you go.
I just ranted then, didn't I?
She did, yeah, she did.
Got on your soapbox.
But do you know what I mean? So they... See, Pam, you need to go in and teach them how to sell.
That's a whole different niche.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
It's been fascinating talking to Mark Little of Luma. Mark, thank you so much. And thank you for bringing along some of the products that you've prototyped.
Thank you.
I love what you're doing. It's a fantastic thing, and you must get great joy out of what you're doing. And I understand some of the constraints, but there must be loads of fun. You know, it must be like having
I'll come on again with the surgeon's product. How about that?
Yeah. When will you be able to do that? When are we looking at?
Next year, I hope we're going to share it. Yeah, after the clinical trials.
Can you fit it in this room?
No, I know. It's a tool for hooking out your hippocampus. That's what it is. I already decided that.
He's got no idea what he's
talking about. It's just above your cerebellum. Don't you know nothing?
You're a nurse.
You're a nurse. You should know this. Mark, thank you so much. Fascinating talking to you. I love what you're doing. Keep on keeping on with what you're doing. Thank you for joining us. And you are more than welcome back when you can tell us about this product and anything else supersonic or with wheels on that you prototype.
Bring it in.
Yeah. Mark Little of Luma, thank you so much. Right, we've only got a few minutes left of the show. We need to crack through some tweets and emails that we got. What you got?
I've got loads, but can I just say, it is true. You need to touch and feel, and it makes such a big difference than just talking and seeing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is amazing. I love it. I'm going to go in and vent now. Fruitworks, community workspace is expanding. We have access, no long-term commitment, hot desk, fixed desk, and small private office space available in the expanded Fruitworks. They're an amazing company, Mr. Andrews. Mm. www.fruitworks.co. It's not .com, it's .co.
It's .co. It is indeed. I had a tweet from FSB Southeast. Ready to pass on your business advice, inspire the next generation. The next Skills 3030 program is taking place on the 11th of December, and that's at the Y School in Ashford. So do come along, join that. If you want to come on to it, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/30-30, you'll find all the details about the program, plus the booking space. It's totally free. Do come along and talk to the next generation.
Really exciting Women in Business this year. It's Christmas luncheon at the beautiful Eastwell Manor. And that is with Jill Farnham, isn't it? Is it Jill?
Jane
Farnham. And...
Yes, another lady who's very good.
Who was the...
I can't think of her name.
Mayor of Westminster.
Yeah, I'm going next week. Are you going?
No,
it's going.
On a Tuesday.
Yeah.
I'm here.
No, you're not. Jules is here.
Oh, I can come.
Don't give me that.
I can come then.
Come for lunch.
Anyway, I'll come for lunch,
Come
Nettie.
For lunch, love.
Good afternoon.
You can't go.
No boys allowed.
No, I know. I don't care. Good afternoon, Vanilla Webb and Bird on a Bike. I'm hosting a charity comedy night at the Ditton Community Centre.
I want to go to this.
On Sunday, the 1st of December, headlined by Simon Brodkin, otherwise known as Lee Nelson. Supporting Simon will be Canterbury's own Mark Simmons, who himself is a rising star on the comedy circuit and is set for an appearance on Mock the Week. Would there be any chance you could give my event a shout-out on the radio? Well, of course we can. Of course we can, Ben. Tickets are only £12.50 and can be purchased through Brodkin and Ward Tickets 2019. Let me tell you again. Brodkin and Ward Tickets 2019 at yahoo.com. Doors open at 7:30 and I advise people to arrive promptly to ensure that they are seated before the support act begins at 8 p.m. This event is in aid of Aspire, who I am representing at next year's London Marathon. Aspire support people with spinal cord injuries, helping them from injuries to independence. Thank you for reading this out. A kind regards, that's Ben, and he's the admin assistant at Ditton Parish Council. And this event is taking place at the community centre in Kiln Barn Road in Ditton on the 1st of December. Get along. What you got?
I was just looking at comedy and confidence for business. What's not to like? It is a hilarious, it says. Comedy and confidence for business. And this is funnywomen.com. I love this. And it's got this big following. It's all going down. And it's Lynn Parker. So she's got an event coming up. Go and check it out on the 5th of December.
That's Lynn Parker, Funny Woman.
It is.
Indeed. Anything else before we round
off? No, I just think you need to go and buy your .com. I can get you a .com.
I thought you bought it.
I'll buy it for you. Are you going to seriously do that? We should do this, Betty. No. We've talked about this.
We need to take it off air. If everyone knows about it, exactly. We're just going to be inundated with shareholders.
I bet the name's gone already because he didn't do it. No. Yeah.
Oh, it's my fault now.
Of course it is. Of course it is. You strike while the iron's hot. Anyway, we've reached the end of another show, and I need to tell you about the Business Bunker Extra show on Friday.
And my show.
Do you do a show? I didn't know you did a show.
Carry on, anyway. You're going to be late. No.
Yeah, the Business Bunker Extra show on Friday at 11 a.m. with Amanda Flanders and her co-host, the lovely Mr. Richard Bell, and their guest this week is Claire Ford. So check that out, 11 o'clock on bizradio.co.uk, the Business Bunker Extra show with Amanda and Richard, and that's at 11 o'clock here. And you've got a show as well.
I have tomorrow. Sue Hornibrook is on, and she's the chairman of Porchlight, which is all about homeless. Aww. So I cannot wait. You've got to hear her backstory. She's got a PhD in...
something.
No, it's in agriculture.
Wow.
Find out why she went and got a PhD in agriculture, and it's got nothing to do with what you think. It's amazing.
Okay. Cool. So we'll find out on the show tomorrow,
all
1 o'clock.
The age of 40 as well, which is even more fascinating.
Good girl.
Mm. Yeah.
1 o'clock,
yeah,
Wednesday,
tomorrow,
manana,
1 till 2,
here on bizradio.co.uk.
Best show ever.
We've run out of time. I say a huge thank you to my guests, the lovely Pam Abassa, Mr. Mark Little, and of course our perennial guest, the lovely Nettie Bunn.
The risk-taking Nettie.
Yeah, the dynamic, thrusting
entrepreneur, Annette Bunn.
Brains behind Cockney canapes.
Brains behind.
Fantastic.
I don't want that accolade. I don't want it.
Brains behind
Cockney canapes. I think I'm too posh to be a Cockney.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I can pull it off.
So cool. We'll be back with another show next week. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Have a great week, everyone. Bye for now.
Thank you.
This is Channel 2.